Is it clear? That's what we want to know. Do you understand? We don't want you going back to your groups and saying, boy, Emil or Chuck or John, or they were way up here. We didn't understand. We understand the difference between conditional and unconditional. I know that you go through this every day in life. It's not something that we don't experience. We have conditional promises. You do a good job at work, guess what you're going to get? Promotion, a raise, a new office, whatever. We know about conditional things. We also know about unconditional things. Who could change God's covenant? That's verse 14. Though I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, who can annul it? That's what it means. Who is it that can make the promise God gave to Abraham of no effect? Help me, Mark.
No one.
No one. Even in man's covenants. People cannot change, he's saying, even a simple man's covenant. And then he says to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not, and John, you may want to help us more. You spoke about this. And to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ.
Let us stop. Let's just highlight the last words of verse 15. No one can change it. Mm-hmm. But he stresses here, so the covenant that God has made, no one can change. Right? But the last words of verse 15 say, or addeth thereto. And this is important in the light of the truth of the Galatian epistle. That they're adding to what God has given through faith in Jesus Christ. Finished, over. So it's not just changing it, so let's change the rules a little bit. But it's now adding to and making them different. That can't be done because the word of God stands. He says it, I believe it, it stands.
How much time do we have?
We have 10 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the most.
Just one point on the side, because before we finish, I want to make sure that you capture what we have said. So I just want to bring one point, and then later on, I will try to just bring everything that we have said, put them all together so you walk out of here with a clear idea of where we were. Verse 16, Brother John was speaking about this matter of seed and seeds. Question for you. You English-speaking people, what is the difference between seed, the word seeds, and seed? Huh?
Can't hear you.
Singular and plural.
Very good.
What is really the difference? Like, you know, when I spell the words.
The S at the end.
Very good. It's interesting, very, very interesting, because how many children did Abraham have?
Just one.
Did he? These two. So, is that singular or plural? Is that seed or seeds?
That's seed.
Plural.
Plural.
Seeds with an S in it, right? But the scripture said that in thy
seed.
Seed.
Good. I gave you the answer.
Singular, because who is the seed really?
Isaac.
Who is the seed really?
Christ Jesus.
Where is that? Verse, can you read to me verse 16? Yes, you're right, it's Isaac, but really the scripture is speaking about. Read verse 16 for me.
This looks a little weird to me.
Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ.
Seed, offspring, same thing. Seed. You see how accurate the scripture is? He didn't say in seed. That's why it's very, very, very important to get a decent translation. It's very, very important to realize that the scripture, the word of God, is inspired. Not its own, it's in, only it's a concept of it, but every word, every letter in the original is inspired, written by God. Everything. That's why he said seed, because he's speaking about Christ, not seeds, because Abraham has many seeds. As a matter of fact, the Lord told Abraham he's going to bless Ishmael also. But the Lord have in mind Christ. You see where we're getting at here at Galatians? What is the Apostle Paul now take their eyes off and directing their eyes to? Tell me, who is he taking their eyes off? Abraham. What else? Who is he taking their eyes off? Man, the law,
works.
Everybody, works, all of that. And he's directing their eyes to who? There we go. He is directing their eyes to Christ. And as we will develop the epistle later on, I want you to see that. See, here a little, there a little. Every day we're going to get a little bit more clear.
Now someone made reference earlier. We have two periods of time. We have the time of Moses and we have the time of Abraham. Right now we're dealing with the promise made to Abraham. Abraham had never heard of Moses. Abraham had never heard of the law. He didn't know anything. There weren't these tribes yet, okay? There was no tabernacle. There was none of these things going on. This is what the Spirit of God is developing for you and I. He says, this I say in verse 17, that the covenant, and what is a covenant? That is a promise. It is an agreement, if you wanted to say it that way. The covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, he says it was 430 years after. It cannot affect it. It cannot affect it. It cannot disannul it that it should make the promise of no effect. For if this inheritance be of the law, what does the law have to do with? I'm doing something. Works. When you always think of works when you think of the law. If it be the inheritance be of works or of the law, it's not a promise. Is that right? Do you understand that? If I'm working to do it, it is not an unconditional promise. It is a conditional promise. God's words to Abraham were entirely unconditional. They took the unconditional, pushed it aside, and they brought the conditions of Moses and tried to put the Galatians under them. They added to, as John said. And the Spirit of God is laboring with them to tell them again, wait a minute. One year here at the conference, somebody said a mixer is a muddler. Okay? It causes confusion. That's all it does. And that's what it had done to the Galatian believers. He says, God gave it to Abraham by promise. What does it depend upon? It's not a bridge with God over here and man over here. That's the law. The bridge is secure on one side, but with me, it's not secure. I do my own will. I go my own way. It depends entirely upon God. This is what we want to see with that first covenant. Everything depended on who God was and could he do what he said he would do. This was the covenant that was made to Abraham. And I know our time is gone, but it is going to lead us then to this very simple question. Brother Chuck, why in the world did the law come in? If all this you're saying is true, why did God give these Ten Commandments? Yeah. And it's a very simple answer that he's going to give. The problem was not with God. The problem was with man. He thought he could do what he couldn't do. He thought he could make himself righteous. He thought, if God will just give me his demands, buddy, I'll tell you what, I'll keep every one of them. Man didn't know his own heart. This was the whole reason why the law was given. God knew they couldn't keep it. He knew they would never be able to keep those commandments, but they didn't know it. And so he gave them those commandments that it would be manifest. They could do nothing but fail. This is what this next section, what or wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed, not the seeds, till Christ came. Christ is the seed. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and so on.